Good morning and welcome to Shattering Myths, a program devoted to the fastest growing segment of our society. To those of you who, like me, know that there's something troubling, dreadfully wrong, destructive about the religious and political, the military and economic institutions that are destroying our country and to a large degree the world. We realize that these institutions, all of them, are the problem. They're not a solution. We're not going to make our country or our world better by replacing one set of bums with another. So instead of merely presenting the news, our mission here will be to understand what is causing the tragedies that are besieging our planet, while predicting how these events will influence our world over the next 5, 10, and 15 years. And that's why in our second hour, we're going to engage God on His terms through evidence and reason, since His guidance regarding His covenant provides hope, the only reliable response in an exceedingly troubled world. If you'd like to wield words wisely on this program over the next 2 hours and consider the great questions of our time, search for answers to them. Our toll-free number is 877-300-7645. And during this time, what we're going to do is encourage everyone to do precisely what our educational system, our political system, and the media, even your religious institutions, have encouraged you not to do. In fact, even your military. They don't want you to think. They don't want you to be independent. They don't want you to exercise good judgment. They have no interest. In fact, it's counterproductive for them for you to be discriminating, discerning, because then you might know the truth. And the truth is not good for them, but it is good for you. And because it's good for you, we're going to consider the evidence, we're going to make the proper connections, and we're going to come to understand what is actually occurring so that we are not played for fools anymore. Obama's out trying to convince the world, especially Americans, that his intended war against Syria will be nothing like America's wars against Afghanistan and Iraq. Now, he, of course, has failed to mention the Libyan bombing campaign that brought the Islamic jihadists to power. Think about how pathetic that is. I'm going to sell my country on engaging in a third war, and it's actually a fourth war if you're attuned to the evidence, in the Islamic world, knowing full well that the others have gone dreadfully wrong. Yeah, that invasion of Afghanistan, we're still mired in there, and we haven't made any positive difference at all. Everyone with half a brain knows that the moment we leave Afghanistan, it'll be as if we were never there, except for the loss of so many lives, the squandering of so much money. Everyone knows that in Pakistan, with our drones, that all we have done is make all Pakistanis hate us. We've killed 4,000 civilians, and we've accomplished nothing beneficial in the process. In fact, we've squandered each year about $2.5 billion of U.S. Treasury, providing the thugs in Pakistan who actually control the Taliban, now our alleged enemy, with shiny, new, and deadlier weapons. Of course, in Iraq, that was the most suicidal mission America has ever engaged in, at least up to now. We deposed a secular government and gave Iraq to the mullahs who run Iran. As a result, Iran was able to expand their influence. The Syrian war that is now so deadly is a direct result of America's stupidity in invading Iraq. We broke the country. We took a country where terrorism was almost non-existent and made it the most terrorized nation on earth. Everything we did in Iraq was wrong. In addition to sacrificing thousands of our children's lives, and perhaps as many as 100,000 of our children's bodies, we made a bad situation infinitely worse. So, no, we don't want to talk about Afghanistan and Iraq. No, let's just forget about that. Let's not learn anything from them. Let's just say my invasion of Syria will be wholly different. But, of course, he doesn't want to mention Libya, where we decided we would bomb a secular dictator in Muammar Gaddafi, just like Mullah Omar in Afghanistan and Saddam Hussein in Iraq. Bad guys. Just like Bashar al-Assad. Horrible dictator. But when you view the world through a isolated prism, and as America does, actually through a straw, and you don't consider any of the implications or consequences of your actions and are incapable of recognizing that the probable outcome is a government far worse than the one that you deposed, which has been the case in Afghanistan and Iraq and in Libya, as well as on our malfeasance in Egypt, then you're incapable of making a moral decision. And, of course, that's what happened in Libya. We decided to bomb Muammar Gaddafi until he was dead. And what happened? The very jihadists that we were fighting in Afghanistan and Iraq, the very terrorists that we claimed were our enemy, that was worth squandering $4 to $6 trillion of our national treasury and so many lives, that we would give them a new country replete with American weapons funneled through Qatar. So we don't want to talk about that either. That didn't turn out so well. They killed the American ambassador and three others. Now, what this American president wants you to do is ignore everything that we have done wrong by intervening in the Islamic world, where his speech in Cairo inspired the very fundamentalist Islamic uprising that we witnessed in Tunisia that made a bad situation infinitely worse in Libya, in Egypt, and now in Syria. Forget about what I've said. Forget about what I have done. You know, when you do the same thing over and over again and you expect a different result, you are insane. Welcome to the American government, circa 2013. In today's world, an accusation is as good as a conviction. The reason for that is that we have forfeited reason. As a nation, we have indoctrinated generations in our schools and through our media and in our politics not to think. So an accusation today is as good as a conviction. An opinion is as meaningful as a conclusion. If you don't think so, just look at what we have done with our drones, where the President of the United States gets to play God and decide which civilians he wishes to kill today, having murdered 4,000 people with our drones, not one of them ever actually tried and convicted of a crime. And here now in Syria, we think it's okay to give surface-to-air missiles to Mujahideen, anti-tank weapons to Mujahideen, mortars and rockets, 50-caliber machine guns and AK-47s to jihadists, the very jihadists that we fought in Iraq and Afghanistan, the very jihadists that we claim that we're at a war against terrorism, against. We think it's okay to give them the most powerful of these weapons. And yet in the United States, if a law-abiding citizen wants a deer rifle, he has to undergo background checks. But there are no background checks relative to the weapons that are handed out in Syria. Matter of fact, if you go back about 6 to 9 months ago on this program, we reported from the world's leading news agencies the realization that Qatar and Saudi Arabia were the primary brokers of American weapons in Syria, and that their providing of these weapons is what caused the civil war to occur in Syria, and that while the United States was saying we need to give these weapons to moderates, funny, that's a peaceful jihadist, Qatar took it an entirely different view. The more fundamentalist the organization, like Al-Nusra Front, the more they were prone to give the most advanced weapons to them. That's the reality of what exists in Syria. There has been a great deal of debate as to who gassed whom. There have been three attacks using gas in Syria. In the first two, it has been shown that the rebels used the gas. And in the third, it is inconclusive. I will tell you that, and we're going to review these three incidents and consider what we know, but I do want everyone to know the following. It really does not matter. It should not even be part of the equation. Over 100,000 people have been killed as a direct consequence of America's invasion of Iraq. If you want to blame someone for the carnage that is taking place in Syria, you'll find the individual who is most to blame in Texas. His name is George W. Bush. You recall that he had irrefutable evidence to prove that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction, and therefore it was America's moral duty to go in and take them from him, to take that country from him. And so we invaded Iraq. And the consequence of invading that country based on a pile of lies is the Syrian civil war. It is a direct result of it, would never have occurred without it. We are to blame. In the last segment, what we talked about was the realization that if you're looking for a culprit, if you're looking for a villain that is responsible for the deaths of 100,000 people in Syria, the villain you'll find in Texas, his name is George W. Bush. He chose to invade Iraq based upon a pile of lies. He knew there were lies at the time. He just wanted to be a wartime president. Thousands of Americans have died. Hundreds of thousands of Americans have had their bodies mutilated. Perhaps as many as 1 million Iraqis and Afghanis have died as a result of our invasion. The estimates are that the cost was between $4 and $6 trillion, bankrupting the country for our children. But it was that invasion that changed the balance of power in the Islamic world. At the time, Syria and Iraq were allies. Both dictators used the Ba'ath Party. But as a result of America's invasion of Iraq, we took Iraq away from Saddam Hussein, killing him, so that we could allow one person, one vote. And evidently, with outcome-based math, Americans can no longer count. And we didn't recognize that 65% of Iraqis are Shiite Muslims. They voted for the candidates that their mosque recommended, that the Grand Ayatollah al-Sistani recommended. He is an Iranian mullah. That Sadr recommended. He's also an Iranian mullah. We gave Iraq to Iran. Stunningly stupid. And when we did that, Iran not only lost their only enemy and therefore was free to complete their nuclear ambitions, which was suicidal for the United States and for the rest of the world. But beyond that, Syria could no longer be a client of the Ba'ath Party in Iraq. It was now a client of Iran. And soon so was Lebanon. And soon so was Hamas. And soon even the Muslim Brotherhood was beginning to accept the influence and money, the power of Iran and Shia Islam. And so the Saudis and the Kuwaitis and the Qataris, those dictators, they're Sunnis. Oh, they didn't like that switch in power because Sunni Islam and Shia Islam have been at war with each other ever since Islam was conceived. And so they started a proxy war in Syria. The war is a direct result of America's invasion. If you want to know who to blame for the massacre of so many individuals in Syria, then you can either look to Texas, where you'll find George W. Bush, or you can look at the halls of the Pentagon and those who supported him, the halls of the State Department and those who supported him, the media outlets and those who supported him, or the majority of you who voted for him. Take the blame. You are the reason for the Syrian civil war. This notion that Saddam Hussein is massacring his own people while the rebels are freedom fighters and are trying to go against tanks and jet aircraft with AK-47s as John McClown would have you believe, while screaming, "Thank God," all the way through the process is utter and complete nonsense. It's a mess now in Syria. And there's only bad outcomes. Assad is a horrible dictator, but those who oppose him are infinitely worse. There is nothing that we can accomplish in Syria by bombing it. And therefore, it really ought not make any difference who deployed chemical weapons, even though we know that the first two deployments of chemical weapons in Syria were by the rebels, and the third deployment is really a giant question mark. One thing we know for certain with the third deployment is that we are utter hypocrites if we're going to side with the Syrian rebels, when we know for certain that the first two deployments of chemical weapons in Syria were used by them. We also know that of the many hundreds of times that the United States and Germany and Israel have intercepted command and control communications between Assad and his generals, that every time there has been a request from the field or from headquarters to use chemical weapons, Assad has said no. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. Speaking of myths, this from Reuters, it was just released in the last few minutes. Syrian President Bashar al-Assad could avoid a U.S. military strike by surrendering all of his chemical weapons within a week, U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry said on Monday, but immediately made clear that he was not making a serious offer. Can you imagine? You're Secretary of State of the United States of America. You've got the most powerful military on earth. In fact, it's not just the most powerful military on earth. It's more powerful than all of the rest of the world's countries combined in terms of their military prowess. You are the world's military. And you make a statement and say, hey, you know, we won't bomb you if you give up your chemical weapons. Then you say, oh, I'm not making a serious offer. Of course he wasn't making a serious offer. We told the same thing to Iraq, and he did. We bombed and invaded the country anyway. Shock and awe. We wanted to show how powerful we are. It's not about chemical weapons, my friends. absolutely not about chemical weapons. This is not about freedom fighters. This is not about democracy. In this particular case, we have a president of the United States that wants to be considered the great Messiah for Sunni Islam. And everything that he has done since he has been president has empowered Sunni Islam. And he shall continue. That is our problem. You see, just as I began this program, I said, you know, this is not about who gassed whom. Because we know that the first two uses of chemical weapons in Syria were perpetrated by the rebels. And so the fact that the third may have been perpetrated by Assad, you'd have to be a complete and utter fool, a complete hypocrite, to hold Assad accountable should he have used them and not the rebels. So it's not about chemical weapons. It's not about the gassing of little children. If we cared about the lives of little children, we would not have invaded Iraq. If we cared about the lives of little children, we would not have invaded Afghanistan. If we cared about the lives of little children, we would have invaded the Sudan to protect the lives of 2.5 million people that Islamic government stuffed out over the course of 25 years, genocidal rage. It's not about the lives of little children. It's not about the use of chemical weapons. It is about this president wanting Sunni Islamic jihadists to prevail, which is why he supported the Muslim Brotherhood and told the military establishment that perpetrated the coup that they needed to immediately turn power back over to the democratically elected government, the Muslim Brotherhood. America, you're being played for a fool. And the military is going right along. It's going to bomb the Assad regime, a Shiite regime, for the express purpose of powering the takeover of that country by the Islamic jihadists of the Sunni persuasion. It's infinitely worse for the world, for Syrians, for Israel, and for the United States. I want to share with you some news articles that didn't make the front page of America's leading periodicals because they tell the truth and they reveal an aspect of this conflict that politicians and the media don't want you to know. Turkish security forces found 2 kilograms of sarin gas in a cylinder after searching the homes of Syrian militants from the al-Nusra Front, which they correctly say is affiliated with al-Qaeda. Now, typically, anytime someone says affiliated with al-Qaeda, I take them to task and say they're affiliated with fundamentalist Islam. Al-Qaeda is just one of many Islamic expressions of fundamentalist Islam. But in this particular case, al-Qaeda and the al-Nusra Front are indeed linked, and by their own admission. The head of the al-Nusra Front has had many press conferences where he said, yes, I am inspired by and I take orders from al-Zawahiri, the head of al-Qaeda. Anyway, it was the al-Nusra Front who had access to this 2-kilogram container cylinder of sarin gas. They had it in Turkey. They were going to deploy it. According to the Turkish government, in the city of Adana. Why would they do so? Because the Turkish government has not taken the necessary actions that they want to support them in this war. And so if this was a tactic that al-Nusra was using, where they would have said, oh, you see, we don't have chemical weapons. That had to be an attack by the Assad regime. So, Turkey, you need to intervene militarily in Turkey. But it was foiled by the Turkish government. On Monday, the Turkish Special Anti-Terrorist Force arrested 12 individuals associated with the al-Nusra Front for attempting this chemical weapons bombing in Turkey. And the Nusra Front, they declared, is the most aggressive and successful arm of the Syrian rebels. Yeah, right there in the Turkish news report, that the al-Nusra Front, which is the dominant player amongst the rebels in Syria, I mean overwhelmingly dominant, is the most aggressive and successful arm of the Syrian rebels. The group is even designated as a terrorist organization by the United States. I'm going to turn the page now to something that occurred in March that was one of the three chemical attacks in Syria. In March, the Syrian government invited the United Nations to investigate chemical weapons use in the Khan al-Asal area of rural Aleppo. Now, Aleppo is an area that is populated mostly by the rebels, by Sunni Muslims. And so a chemical weapons attack was used to kill Sunni Muslims, just as we saw most recently in the suburbs of Damascus. In this particular gassing attack, which was by sarin gas, 26 people were killed. It was perpetrated by the rebels. Damascus claimed, of course, that the al-Nusra fighters were behind the attack, further alleging that the rocket that had been launched had come from inside Turkey. The rocket came from a place controlled by al-Nusra, which is located close to the Turkish territory. One can assume that the weapon came from Turkey, the Interfax News Agency reported. U.S. President Obama had warned that any confirmed use of chemical weapons by Damascus would cross a red line, which would prompt further action. Well, of course, he's denied that he issued the red line, saying that the world did it, so perhaps Barack Obama has a megalomania complex now and thinks that he is the world. Both Washington and London claimed there was growing evidence that such chemical agents had been used. Yeah, they were, in fact. Less clear, perhaps, whether a similar red line would apply to the Syrian opposition groups, such as the al-Nusra, when it was shown that they were the ones who deployed the chemical weapons. Author and historian Gerald Horn, for one, told the media that there were greater political dynamics at work. He said, one would think that the West, claiming that the red line would be the use of chemical weapons, would hold al-Nusra accountable when it was determined that they used them. But we know the United States, along with its NATO partners, Britain and France, are quite close to the main backers of the rebels. He says, I'm speaking of Saudi Arabia and Qatar. We know, for example, according to the Financial Times, that Mr. Sarkozy, the former president of France, is in a very close financial relationship with the Qataris, just as George W. Bush and his father were in a very close financial relationship with the Saudi Arabians. This story is out of Europe today. It also just made the world's headline. It is intriguing. I hinted at it earlier in the program. It is from Reuters. Syrian government forces may have carried out a chemical weapons attack close to Damascus without the personal permission of President Bashar al-Assad. Germany's Bild am Sonntag paper reported on Sunday, citing German intelligence. One of the things we know for certain is that every time, and it's been hundreds of times, that elements of the Syrian military have asked permission to use chemical weapons during an assault, Assad has consistently, unambiguously, and universally said, no, absolutely not. There isn't a single intercepted cable of Assad even questioning it, even considering the potential merits or the consequences of such an attack. It is always absolutely not, never under any circumstances can you use chemical weapons. Ever. And there isn't to this time either. Never an approval. And so is there the possibility that that rather than the rebels bombing themselves, which is to get international intervention, which is the most likely case, that a rogue unit of the Assyrian military, acting on its own without instructions from higher command, and particularly from Assad, use the weapons? That's a possibility. Not likely, but it's certainly a possibility. But if that occurred, if, for example, the United States was targeted by Europe because somebody in a facility in Germany decided that they would shoot rockets off, maybe get in a tank and go down the streets of a German city, would Germany be in the right to say, you know, because that was an American riding and around in an American tank shooting American munitions, even though that attack was not authorized by higher command or by the President of the United States, our solution, therefore, is to go bomb America and to take out America's military? Would that be rational? Would that be reasonable? Would that be moral? No. And yet here we find Kerry and Obama trying to make a monster out of Assad, blaming him personally for being the mass murderer of little children. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. We were considering a story that was reported this morning by Reuters that came out of Germany. Syrian brigade and division commanders have been asking the presidential palace to allow them to use chemical weapons for the last 4.5 months, according to radio messages intercepted by German spies. But permission had always been denied, according to Germany's intelligence agency. Always. This would mean that Assad did not approve any attack, and most especially the one close to Damascus on August 21st, in which more than 1,400 people are assumed to have been killed. Bild said that the radio traffic was intercepted by a German naval reconnaissance vessel sailing close to the Syrian coast, with Assad consistently, universally, undeniably saying no to every request. Last week, the head of the BND, German Schindler, gave confidential briefings to the German Parliament's Defense and Foreign Affairs Committees. Bild, the newspaper, said that Schindler told the Defense Committee that Syria's civil war could continue on for years. The chief of staff of Germany's armed forces, General Volker Wickler, also told lawmakers the influence of al-Qaeda-linked forces within the rebels was becoming increasingly stronger and stronger. It's probably in the range of 90%, the percentage of fundamentalist jihadist mujahideen in the rebel forces, about 90%. And as such, even if it were 50%, which it's not. As such, the American bombing of the Assad regime has only the following potential consequences, which is why it, like everything else the United States has done in the Islamic world, has been so counterproductive. It will either take a war that is beginning to wind down, that no matter how many advanced weapons Syria and Qatar pour into Syria, anti-tank weapons, surface-to-air missiles, 50-caliber machine guns, mortars, and rockets, that no matter how many weapons they pour into the country, the fact of the matter is, over the last year, the rebels have lost most every battle. They've lost almost the entire middle of the country that they once controlled. The war is winding down. But if America bombs the Assad military, the war is guaranteed to continue, and more people, not less people, will die. That's not a very good outcome. Second, if America continues to bomb Syria like it bombed Iraq, forcing regime change, then jihadists, fundamentalist Muslims, the very mindset that perpetrated 9/11, will be in power in Syria. It will be even worse than having the Muslim Brotherhood be in power in Egypt. The worst possible outcome for Syrians and for the world. That's not good either. Those are the two most likely outcomes. There is, of course, a third outcome, that America's engagement in Syria escalates because it doesn't produce the desired results, whatever they might be. And America's banker, China, gives up on America and says, you know, if you're going to squander the money that we're loaning you by killing people in this way, particularly our ally, we're no longer going to fund you. And if they do, America is bankrupt. And the economy tumbles. There's nothing but anarchy here. It's over. America, as you know it, would end tomorrow, the moment the Chinese say, you know, we're just not going to fund your military misadventurism anymore. We'd have no way of supporting our debt. It's over. America collapses economically. That's not a very good option either. Or you could have the Russians say, you know, America has become so militaristic, so belligerent, so adventurous in its use of its military, that we think that we and our allies are now threatened by the unbridled lust of America to bomb, to kill, to intervene. And so America and Russia find themselves at war. If that occurs, millions upon millions of people will die. That's not a very good outcome either. So why don't you tell me an outcome that is possible other than the four I have just listed? This is Shattering Myths, where we turn after the news.